It looks like we have enough people, so I am going to call the meeting to order. And first up is roll call. Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Green. Director Nguyen. Director Ta.
Here.
Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Whitaker. Director Mendoza, Director Sidhu.
Here.
Director Sheldon.
Here.
You have a quorum of your committee present.
Great. Okay. Next step, I'm going to switch screens here. Next step is, are there any items received too late to be agendized?
There are not.
Unless I missed the roll call.
Okay. Now, obviously, we have a small change on, I believe, item 7, right? But we'll deal with that when we get. All right, now's the time for visitor participation. If any members of the public like to address us this time on any matters that are on the agenda or within our jurisdiction, they may do so at this time. If you can raise your hand or identify yourself. Madam Clerk, do we have any?
I see no hands raised.
Great. Okay, then unless someone unmutes themselves, we have no visitor participation. So that'll move us to the consent calendar, which is items 1 through 6, and they'll be approved by one motion unless a board member pulls something for a separate discussion. Anybody like to pull it or make a motion at this time?
I'd like to abstain on item number 1, Director Sidhu.
Okay, we'll note an abstention there.
I also like to abstain on item number 1 because I wasn't there. Yeah.
Okay. No problem there.
I'm going to go ahead and move the consent calendar.
Okay, Director Yeo moves, and I'll go ahead and second his motion to move the balance of the consent calendar. Madam Clerk, if you call the roll.
Certainly. Director Bilodeau.
I vote yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Green. Director Nguyen. Director Ta.
Yes, but item number 1, I abstain.
Okay. Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Director Mendoza. Director Rowe.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0 with an abstention by Director Ta on item number 1. And Director Sidhu, you will not be voting on this committee meeting.
Got it. Okay.
Janice, I am on the meeting. I couldn't get off mute. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
I am so sorry. And yes.
Yes, voting yes. Okay, thank you.
Okay. We have that straightened out. That brings us to item number 7, which is now an informational item only, and I'll give it to Bruce Dozier.
Yes. Do you want to do it now, or do you want to wait till informational items, Chair Bilodeau? It doesn't matter. Either way.
These are all sort of updates anyway, so why don't we just go ahead and move forward, if you don't mind.
Okay, sure. I wanted to, Janice, I'm going to share my screen.
Here. Okay.
Do you see the plat that I've got displayed? Warner Basin, Conrock Basin, and Huckleberry Basin?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. This was an oversight on my part. We had recently received some drawings from Yorba Linda Water District of their proposed well site number 23. And the appurtenant premises or pipeline that go along with it. And it was my oversight. I had totally neglected or forgotten that the board had conceptually approved it. But since it was 2 years ago that this happened, I just wanted to refresh the committee's recollection of this. So at Warner Basin, Yorba Linda Water District is proposing to put in a well site in this location here on the east, on the westerly side of the basin, and then run a pipeline underground along under the perimeter here, and then out to La Palma where they hook into their pipelines. And let's see here. And then we received a some drawings from Yorba Linda Water District, and what they are proposing is a approximately approximately 6,000 square feet area over in this location here for the actual well site and the discharge pipeline, and then an additional 36,000 square feet of pipeline area, underground pipeline area, to take pipeline out to La Palma. This drawing here shows a little bit more detail. This is included in the board packet as well. This area here is the well, parcel one is a well site area. This area, parcel two, is a just a temporary construction and maintenance area. And then this area here is part of the discharge, and then the pipeline would run up along here and then onto up to La Palma and out to up Van Buren. And so I know in the past the board's approved well site 21. It's currently an annual rent of $4,700 a year, and that increases 3% every year. It's just one time a year payment. When well site 22 was approved by the board over, that's over located at, in this area right here. It's not displayed on this plat, but it's over here. As part of the, as a consideration for that well site, the board had approved a water connection to well site 21, and that well site 21 could provide water to district vehicles. And what I would propose, we have not started negotiating this lease with Yorba Linda Water District, but I would propose that they get an appraisal on this well site and on the pipeline. And then we could bring that back along with the lease and see if the board wants to consider that as rent. And that concludes my report on this informational item. Are there any questions? I'd be happy to answer.
I have a question, Bruce. So at some point, will the staff evaluate whether this would be disruptive to our operations or maybe suggest a different location if that's the case?
This has been looked at and vetted by engineering and the water production folks, and we would have one more look at it. But that's why it was brought to the board 2 years ago for conceptual approval. The staff had looked at it and deemed that an appropriate location.
Okay. Because obviously putting an easement across the front of our entire property could significantly devalue it if we were
right. So what we've done,
sell it.
What we've done in the past with Yorba Linda Water District, we haven't granted easements. We've done 50-year leases with a provision in there that if we were to terminate in the first 20 years, that there'd be a declining scale of we'd reimburse them for their construction costs, for the facility, over a declining scale over 20 years. And then after 20 years, we could terminate it without cause, without any payment. And that way we didn't get trapped into an easement, which would be forever.
Right. Okay.
So we'll come back to the committee with a draft lease agreement and other documents.
Okay. Are there any other questions for Bruce on this? This is an informational item only.
Chair Bilodeau, this is Roger. Yes. I have a question. Bruce, is that area currently a park, like a linear park or something? I got the location mixed up because I thought maybe Anaheim had improved the area into a linear park.
There is along La Palma. there's an improved, there was a turf removed there, and the district, along with the city of Anaheim, did put in some drought tolerant and native plants in there. It's not a park, but the location of the well site is within, I believe it's within the district fence line. Let's see here. I believe it's within the chain link fence area, but the pipeline would be underground and under the road. So I don't believe it's not under that turf replacement area.
Okay, got it. So,
that's what you're asking me?
Yeah, I have not been there in a couple of years, the area, but I seem to recall that there's some landscaping improvements, but it doesn't look like in any time soon that we'll have any plan to lease it out for development along La Palma, right? Because it
yeah.
Yeah, okay.
City would love to have and work with the our department here to see how we can improve that to make it a more park area. And I know it is right now between the fence and the lake, there is a lot of grass area. It is being used for, you know, many different purposes, but I have not seen lately, you know, where the city has done any improvement lately.
Okay.
This is Kelly Rowe. I don't think that there's much space for doing much of anything for developing that area. It's just enough space for the perimeter road, the fence, and the new sidewalk we put in a few years ago.
Right, it was that sidewalk along with some plantings along there. It's very nice, but yeah.
Could be room for a row of townhomes, lakefront.
Did you say my name?
I got Steve's attention.
No, really, that's a parkway. It's a landscape parkway adjacent to the sidewalk and not really intended as like a park use under the normal park view, but it's certainly a good looking parkway landscaped.
Yeah. So that's what I recall. So my question is that I think that this would not significantly devalue the property, right? With that easement. That's my question. It would not significantly impact the value of our property, because it doesn't appear that there is any future plan for any commercial use.
There is.
I agree,
no...
Roger, I agree with that statement.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you. And I think Mayor Sadu had weighed in as well. Welcome back. Yep. Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, Seth, this is information only, so.
Correct.
That'll wrap that up. So I think we'll move on to item number 8, which is an update on the former Prado shooting areas.
Yes, and this one I'm going to turn over to Greg Woodside, who will give a presentation and staff report.
I think you're muted, Greg.
Yes.
Good afternoon, Chair Bilodeau, members of the board. Can you see my screen okay?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you. So we're going to move up above Prado Dam and talk about the former shooting areas. So we say former shooting areas in the sense that these are areas that had shooting activities in the past, but do not currently at this time. So the work began circa 2015 with some studies of the area where the former shooting areas were to assess the level of impact from the shooting. And then I'm not going to go back into all the background, but the district did enter into an agreement in 2019 with DTSC for oversight of our investigation of the shooting areas. As a result of that, we determined that for one of the areas called the Pheasant Fields, there was no further action needed. So the former Pheasant Fields shooting site has been cleared for no further action needed. So we prepared a draft remedial investigation feasibility study report with our contractor AECOM that was submitted in June of 2021 for two sites, the sites we refer to as Pigeon Hill and also the former clay target range. And I would just note that the active shooting areas that are within the current lease, they have a separate pathway to follow up with the eventual cleanup of those areas, and that's not assessed in our feasibility study. We did receive comments from DTSC in August on the RFS, and so we're going to update the board on where we are and what those comments were. So this is a map of the broader Prado Basin area. If you can see my cursor, the dam is in the very lower left here. Off to the left, right off this aerial photo, would be Highway 71. This is Corona down here on the lower right. This is the city of Norco over in this area. This is River Road Bridge that crosses the river. So we have two areas we'll be talking about. One's called Pigeon Hill over here, and one is called the former clay target range. And the river actually flows right through the middle part of the basin right here between the two sites. And just for reference, our OCWD office at Prado Basin is located right here. And then this red line, or this red arc here, is our property boundary. So the water district owns everything within this boundary. And these are our wetlands right here, which is one of the main features in Prado Basin, our Prado constructed wetlands where we treat Santa Ana River water. So I'm going to zoom in to the former clay target range site. So this is on the edge of Norco and Corona. Again, the river flows across the top here. I'll have an aerial photo in a minute. From a drone, you can see the lay of the land, but again, this is our property inside the red line. So what these kind of pinkish polygons show is these are the area that's been identified based on our study of the area that tentatively needs to be cleaned up to address ecological risk. And this amounts to about 5 acres of land within these polygons. So we tested a larger area based on where the shooting occurred. And this is the area that exceeds the remediation goals for ecological risk within these polygons here. So this is a photo from a drone from the Fullerton College drone program. This is a photo looking towards the south. So Prado Dam itself would be way off the top, the upper part of this photo. And this is the river over here. So this is the site right in here. This is a higher elevation part of it here. It slopes, so it drops off significantly. This is actually a pretty steep slope here. And this is roughly our property line. So these are houses to the left, and our property occurs to the right of this red line here. So the main area where the sediment would need to be removed for cleanup would be generally in this area through here on this slope that occurs on the property. So just looking at it a little bit further, again, the area within the pink is the area that would need to be cleaned up. And then this shows the cities. So the previous boundary in red was our property boundary, but now we're showing city boundaries. So these lines are city boundaries. So the city of Eastvale actually comes in here into the kind of riparian area. This is Norco up here. So the middle where our property is unincorporated Riverside County. So unincorporated Riverside County where our property is through here in the shooting area, a little bit in Eastvale right here. And then this is Corona over here. So one other feature I want to point out here, we're plotting the elevation topographic contours. So there's a green line, a green arc, a green contour, and an orangish one. So this is 566 through here. the elevation contour of the ground, 566 foot elevation, and then 550 in green. So you can see it's sloping down to the left or to the west here. And 566 is relevant because that's the elevation that's above the maximum flood elevation in Prado Reservoir. And that'll come up later in the context of our comments from DTSC in terms of potential residential criteria for cleanup, which we have not yet addressed. We've developed cleanup criteria so far based on ecological risk. But above 566 is areas that potentially could be developed, whether for residential or commercial or other land uses. Below 566, there can't be habitation because it's in the flood reservoir. So switching now to Pigeon Hill. So to orient you again, the red boundary here is our property boundary. So this area in here is OCWD property. This is the active shooting range Rahaga operates. It's actually Mill Creek flows through here. And this is a hill. You can see, again, we have the contours plotted. So the 566 line goes through here. This is actually Army Corps property to the north of us. And this is our property here. So the pinkish polygons show the area to be cleaned up based on ecological risk. And this is approximately 1 acre of land. Some photos just to give you a feel for the land. So this is a photo looking to the north. Mill Creek would be here in the trees. This is the hill area over here to the left. This is one of the high points where this small little water tank is up here. And the shooting area where there was shooting in areas that had to be cleaned up or remediated is over here on the left. One more photo. Again, same general view looking north. So it's the area about an acre over here that would need to be remediated. And the depth of the remediation is about half a foot. Contamination is in the upper 6 inches of the sediment. And that's just one more view, zoomed in a little bit more. Again, active shooting area for the Rahaga lease. And this is the Pigeon Hill area over here to the left. So in summary for the draft RFS, DTSC and OCWD have reached tentative concurrence on the ecological-based remediation goals. And again, based on those ecological risk remediation goals, approximately 5 acres would need to be remediated at the former clay target range and 1 acre at Pigeon Hill. The tentative preferred remedy is excavation of the sediment and containment in an engineered structure at Pigeon Hill. The structure at Pigeon Hill would be about 7 feet deep. It would cover about 0.5 acres, about a half an acre of land at Pigeon Hill. And it would be located at the upper part above 566. And the estimated capital cost for that cleanup, both the 5 acres at former clay target range and the 1 acre at Pigeon Hill, is $1 million. So as we got the comments from DTSC, we need to identify, based on their comments, if there's interest in potential residential or commercial land use at the sites. The DTSC has criteria for residential or commercial slash industrial. I'm just going to refer to it as residential or commercial. So considering the future land use issues we need to think through. If we do want to consider future residential or commercial land use, those would have stricter remedial goals compared to solely ecologically based remedial goals. If we want to proceed, and this is what we wanted to review with the board and seek direction on, we have of course options here. If we wanted to proceed without identifying potential future residential or commercial land use, and I'm going to call that quote as is, just, you know, the current land use as is. If we proceed with as is land use, no consideration of potential residential, a DTSC has indicated a land use covenant would be required to prohibit future new usage, along with the soil management plan and execution of an operations and maintenance agreement with DTSC for long-term O&M. And DTSC has indicated their annual cost for review of the long-term O&M is estimated to be approximately $8,000. And DTSA explained this to us, that they've had sites where other locations where, you know, the property owner indicated they weren't going to do development or residential development, and then they changed their mind and DTSC found out about it later. So they've had challenges with this in the past. So their practice now is, if there's not going to be a cleanup to residential or commercial land use criteria, that a land use covenant would be required prohibiting that type of future use. So looking at the former clay target range site, this is a map that shows the area. And what we've done here is showing green the area that's above 566. And it's mapped to be 24 acres. So this is the area that's bounded by these homes on the southeast, and also by development here to the north. Now, comparing the two sites, Pigeon Hill, at least from our initial perspective, would pose real challenges. At Pigeon Hill, this location here for development, because there's really several reasons. One is that it is a hill, and although there's areas above 566, those areas aren't contiguous to any roads in the area. So there'd have to be a large road built above 566 so that there was access and transportation network into the site above 566. That would be a significant endeavor to build that road and to build access. And then additionally, this is where we're proposing, at least at this point, the approach is to propose a containment unit to bury the waste from the two sites here. And this site is also very close to the Rahagi shooting range, and there's noise impact from that adjacent shooting range. So for sake of discussion, we're going to proceed just with a brief discussion about the options the board has for considering former clay target range. Again, this area that is shown here of 24 acres. So for former clay target range considerations, if we proceed with the as-is land use, this will be not the residential cleanup criteria. We do have some additional work with AECOM to respond to DTSC's comments that we received on the RFS. That's estimated in a preliminary sense by AECOM to be $70,000 of additional work. And again, we have 5 acres to remediate for ecological risk at the former clay target range, and DTSC has indicated a land use covenant would be required. If we want to account for future residential use at the former clay target range, the additional work would be a little bit more by AECOM, because they'd have some more work to do. That's estimated approximately to cost $100,000. And our preliminary estimate of the additional area to clean up, accounting for the residential use remediation goals, is 4 additional acres for a total of 9. That concludes my presentation. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Our recommendation is to ask the board to direct staff as appropriate. And I will turn it back if there's any questions.
Okay, are there any questions of staff at this time?
I have a question.
Dr. Rowe has his hand up.
No, I have a question.
Oh yeah, go ahead, please.
Yeah, can you please describe it, if ever goes to go in the direction of doing residential or commercial, is this is a landlocked to or is do we have a way to get to this property from the Norco side or from the Corona side?
Yes, I believe for the former clay target range site, there is access relatively close. You can see here, I realize you might not be able to see the figure, but there are houses adjacent to the site to the east, and there's a road nearby. So former clay target range does appear to have nearby roads.
Okay, thanks.
Great, and it appears that Director Rowe has his hand raised.
Well, that's being polite. Thank you for letting me talk. I don't think there's any way that we're going to allow this property to be developed for residential purposes at the elevation as that. It's probably close to the floodplain area. I worked with DTSC for about 3 years in doing clearance of LA Unified School District school sites. And they have a cleanup level of 255 milligrams per kilogram of in the soil, which for most places mean you have to remove like 3 to 5 feet of soil, depending upon how much the lead percolates or penetrates into the soil. What's the cleanup level for ecological acceptance? That's my question.
Yeah, for ecological assessment for lead, I believe it was 180 milligrams per kilogram.
That's still a pretty low threshold, but I'd rather that we work towards that than the more stringent 255 milligrams per kilogram, whatever is lower.
Okay. Mr. Whitsett, so what are you looking for from the board at this time? Like, what direction are you seeking?
Yes, we're seeking direction if we should proceed with our consultant to finish the remedial investigation feasibility study with the land use assumed to be as-is land use, or if we should assume that the board wants to have the option for potential residential use, or it could be commercial also, either one. And so that's feedback that will help us determine how to scope out our next step to complete the feasibility study.
Okay. Moving down the list, Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. Greg, my question is, can the I'm sorry, there's some activities going on in my house, background noise. Can the LUC be modified if we go with as is right now, and later on, if there are some changes, some opportunities come up, and we, as a board, decide to do to go a different direction, can the LUC be modified at the time?
Our understanding is yes. I think we'd want to verify that with DTSC, but our understanding is yes. If we decide to go forward with as is now, and conditions change, and the board wants to consider other options in the future, that we could. If we were prepared to do the additional cleanup needed, that the land use control could be removed.
Okay, and then the current potential remediation is to build a structure on site and excavate the areas that are affected and just keep the material on site within the engineered structure?
Yes, the engineered structure would be built at the Pigeon Hill, the site that's more remote. So the material from both the former clay target range, the site on the screen here, and the material at Pigeon Hill would both be contained in an engineered containment unit that would be built at Pigeon Hill. So it's essentially our own small landfill, if you will.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
And Director Sheldon has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Greg, what is the cost difference between the two alternatives?
So the cost to clean up with the as is $1 million. We have a very initial rough cost estimate if we clean up the additional 4 acres. If we clean up the additional 4 acres, it would roughly double it to $2 million. So if we cleaned up to the residential at former clay target range, it would be approximately $1 million. That's kind of an order of magnitude cost estimate. We haven't asked AECOM to do that specific work yet, but we roughly estimate it to increase the cleanup cost by $1 million from $1 million to $2 million.
Okay, thank you.
Greg, as you know, we have a sinking fund that was set up to deal with this cleanup that we make. There's a monthly contribution made by the tenant. Do you have any idea what the balance of that is currently? something you can talk to Mr. Figg about?
I've got figures from a year ago, so I can extrapolate from that. But a year ago, we had $185,600 at the end of July 2020. So just a rough calculation puts it at about $245,000, $250,000 right now.
Okay, we're getting there. Okay, well, obviously, I don't think the board's going to be able to make a decision on which way to go. I wouldn't think. This is kind of new information. I don't know if anybody has any ideas if we need to have like maybe just a workshop to work through this one issue, or we want to bring it to the full board and make a decision there.
Well, Mr. Chairman, the current recommendation is to take it to the full board for further discussion. That's the staff recommendation at this point.
Okay. Well, I would encourage everybody to study up on this and be prepared to get your questions answered, and maybe on the 15th, we'll make a decision on what direction we want to go. So with that, I don't see any other questions. I'll go ahead and recommend we make a motion. We agendize it for the September 15th board meeting for a discussion.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll, please?
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Ta?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
That motion carries 5-0.
Great. That brings us to informational items. Item 9, which is the quarterly report on leases and permits, licenses for the period ending June 30th, 2021. And the spreadsheet is contained at the back end of the agenda packet. Is there anything you wanted to highlight, Mr. Dozier, on that?
I'm sorry, I was muted. I don't think there's anything to highlight other than it looks like some of the rents were higher. For example, Corona Recreation was higher. They had an excellent fishing year this year. We had a 25%, almost 26% increase for the quarter year over year. And we had about a 19% increase in the rents year over year for year to date. And other than that, I don't have anything really outstanding. Everyone, okay. All tenants are fully compliant.
And it looks like we have the Aqua Park now on the ledger making their payments. So that's a good pickup for us.
Yes, correct.
Okay. Looks like we'll place everything on the consent except for item number 8. Does that sound right, Bruce?
It does.
7 will be on consent.
7 was an informational item.
Yeah. Okay. So that's how that'll work. Are there any directors' comments or reports at this time? I see Director Sheldon has his hand up.
Thank you, Chairman Bilodeau. I wanted to take the time to welcome Harry Sadu to our board and welcome him back to the district. He had served for 4 years before, and we're pleased to have him again on our board. And we'll all continue working forward for the betterment of the district and for the city of Anaheim. So thank you, and thank him for coming on.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm so glad to be back and be part of the team.
Very good. Seeing no other comments, general manager comments or reports?
No, just to follow up with President Sheldon's comments on behalf of the staff, we'd like to welcome Director Sadu back to the board. Look forward to working with him. And as a comment, just to those of you that are on the executive committee, there will be an executive committee immediately following adjournment of this meeting, and a separate Zoom link had been set out previously.
Very good. With that, we are adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good day.